I'm a psychic, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do, and I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and make a change. Do it the Amy Scott Grant way. It's the state of the universe, the state of the universe. Amy Talks!
Hey, this is Amy Scott Grant, your host of Amy Talks at amytalks.com. So today's topic is kind of weird, not gonna lie, but it is something that comes up. People ask me about it more than you would think, and it's about hoarding. Just to be clear, I said hoarding, not whoring, right? That's probably a whole different topic, which doesn't actually come up nearly as often, at least not in this lifetime. But no, we're talking about hoarding. And you know what a hoarder is, right? I mean, that is somebody that, there's different words for it. Pack rat, somebody whose house is extremely cluttered. They tend to hold on to stuff. But I'm going to tell you, hoarding is more than that. In fact, why don't we take a quick second and look it up here? Let's see. If we define hoard. So according to the all-knowing interwebs, the definition of hoard is, well, the noun part is a stock or store of money or valued objects, typically one that is secret or carefully guarded. But more often than not, we hear the word hoard as a verb. Right. And so the verb meaning, or the meaning of the verb hoard, is to amass like money or certain objects and hide or store away. But here's the crazy thing, is that hoarding doesn't just have to do with money and valuables. You know, you might think of a miser hoarding wealth, but there's hoarding energy everywhere. Okay. For example, you might feel happy or comfortable or relaxed when you have a full pantry and a full fridge. One of my good friends is actually this way. She loves it when her fridge is like chock-a-block full. Even if there's no way in hell that she's going to be able, that her and her family are going to be able to eat half the stuff in there before it goes bad. That's not where her focus is. Her focus is on like, yes, you know, it's full. I love when my fridge is full. I actually love when my pantry is full because then I have more options. I get the same feeling. I don't feel that way about the fridge because I hate to throw out food. It just, I think about what went into that thing being grown and nurtured and then harvested and then brought to my, you know, grocer or farmer's market so that I could pick it and take it home. It's like, man, that's a whole lot of work to just end up in the trash, you know? So I hate to throw away food. But I love when my pantry's full because that's all staples. And do I hoard certain items? You know, there's certain items in my pantry that you would say I have way too many of. Before Colorado got a Trader Joe's, I went to a Trader Joe's in California. And that was like the first time I'd ever been to one. And I'd heard about them for years, right? And just sort of never had the opportunity to go to one. And I was in California with some friends and drove by one. I said, oh, can we go to Trader Joe's? And they're like, okay, sure. So we went into Trader Joe's and I was just like, wow. And I like bought up different chocolate bars. You know, I love when you go to a new store and they have things you don't have at your store, right? So I like to be, you know, adventurous and try a lot of different things. And I found these, they have these chunks of dried coconut. Don't send me any, by the way, because I'm hoarding quite a few at the moment. And so I bought one bag of them, right? Because I was trying a lot of different things. And when I ate them, I thought, oh my God, these are like literally the most amazing coconut things I've ever had. That was before I tried those dried coconut flakes. Have you had those? They're like crunchy, like chips. They're toasted coconut. Oh, they're insane. But anyway, you can buy those pretty much anywhere now. But at the time, that was like the most amazing coconut thing I had ever eaten. And I wished I had tons more. So I got my friends to bring me on my way to the airport. They brought me to another Trader Joe's and I bought like a dozen packs. And then when I ran out, I had another friend that lives in California that would send me like a dozen packs at a time. Well, then we got a Trader Joe's And so I can go to Trader Joe's whenever I want because we have a whole bunch of them now in Colorado. So I have, but I sort of have this like hoarded stash of these coconut strips, dried coconut strips. So you can hoard food. You can hoard newspapers. God, my grandma was a huge pack rat. Like her house, you could barely walk into her house. There was a lot of hoarding energy there. And she had, you know, she had lived during the war and when there was nothing. And so a lot of people that lived through the war sort of carry that energy still, like, oh, I don't want to get out. I don't want to get rid of this because probably as soon as I get rid of it, I'll need it, you know, or in part of their mind, somewhere they're thinking, what if there's another war? What if there's, you know, something happens and there's some kind of emergency and you can't buy anything. You can't get anything. I'm going to wish I had had this. And that's part of, and we'll talk about that, but that's part of one of the causes behind hoarding is a fear of being without. And so hoarding is a way to sort of, you know, stockpile and feel safer, feel cushioned against any kind of turn of events, right? But you can hoard love. You can keep all of your love to yourself and be very stingy with how you dole it out, right? You can hoard clothes. Ladies, I know a lot of you do. And that's right. I say you because when Lauren Flash Battistini, Color My Closet, came and did an image makeover for me several years ago, you know, I was like, I looked in my closet and I thought, oh, crap. And I got rid of like half the stuff in my closet before she even showed up. And then she came and got rid of 2/3 of what was left. I mean, can you imagine? I'm not like super fast with math, but I'm going to estimate 70%. Can you imagine getting rid of 70% of your clothing right now today? No, most women can't. And some men, I definitely know some men that sort of hoard clothes and stockpile clothes. Do you have clothes in your closet right now that still have tags on them? And you did not just buy them this week. I bet you do, right? So there's a hoarding energy for a lot of us around clothing. You know, I learned to live much leaner. You actually get much more wear and variety out of your closet when you have fewer well-planned items, fewer items that are all well-planned and all go together. I love Lauren. She, you know, I talk about her in 1-2-3 Clarity. She's like amazing. So there's hoarding with clothes. There's hoarding love. There's hoarding sex for sure. Women that will pleasure themselves but won't indulge their partner, right? You know, pretty much anything can be hoarded. I was telling you about my grandma. Yeah, she used to like newspapers. She had stacks and stacks of newspapers. Do you know when I first met my husband, do you know what he was hoarding? This is so funny to me. Tech magazines. He had tech magazines that went back like 10 years. It was like, why are you keeping these? You know, when we got engaged and made the decision to get married, I was like, why are you keeping these tech magazines? And he said, because this was before the internet. We're dating ourselves a little bit. But before the internet was so readily accessible, you know, within half an arm's reach like it is now, he would say, well, if I need to go look something up. And I said, now I'm really going to date myself now. I said, well, isn't this on microfiche? Like, there's got to be some way you can get it. Not to mention, if it's 10 years old, how new is that technology? Even then, 10 years was a long time. Now, 10 years is like a lifetime, right? Who knows what technology we'll have 10 years from now. But he was hoarding those magazines. So there, I think I've made it clear that you can hoard like pretty much anything. Toys, memories, childhood stuff, physical intangibles, money, possessions, things that have no value to anyone else, all of that kind of stuff. But why? Why do we hoard? And what is the spiritual energy that's actually hanging out beyond, you know, on the other side of hoarding? That's what we're going to talk about after this word from our sponsors, KidCentered.com.
KidCentered.com, yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time, calming the body and calming the mind. Try our calm mind time for free. It will leave you smiling and feeling happy. For kids meditation, you can't go wrong. At kidscenter.com.
All right, welcome back to Amy Talks. And today we're talking about hoarding. There's a D in there, not whoring. Hoarding. What is the energy behind hoarding and why do we do it? And what I have discovered is there's only typically a few reasons why we hoard something. One is, you know, what I already mentioned, right? Like if you think about people that grew up during the war, there's a fear of loss, a fear of being without, a fear of, you know, what if something happens and the stuff really hits the fan and you can't get anything. I'm going to be so sorry that I sold that or donated that or gave that away. I'll wish I still had it. So that fear of loss is a very big driver in hoarding. The second thing, possibility, why you might be hoarding stuff is for a false sense of security. You know, I like the coconut. Right? It was like, I don't know when I'll ever get to a Trader Joe's again. So I better stock up now. And that way I'll have it anytime I want it. That's probably more of the third reason, which is convenience. You know, like it's kind of a way to sort of battle uncertainty and the unknown. And even now, the Trader Joe's is a good, I don't know, 30, 35 minutes away. So if I went there today, I'd probably buy a couple extras of stuff that I really, really liked because I don't know when I'd get back up that way. That's a slightly more innocuous version of hoarding. You know, when you say, oh, I don't get up to this store very often and I really enjoy this or I use a lot of this. So instead of buying one, I'm going to buy three, right? But, you know, if you have 17 cars, or if you have 2.5 closets full of clothing for one person, that's when we start to get into the space of unhealthy. You know, that's what hoarding is versus I'm just going to buy a few extra. So I don't, you know, like, do you know some people actually go to the grocery and shop for one meal at a time? Clearly, these people have more free time than me. I don't know. But yeah, they like buy one meal at a time because they don't like to have all this extra stuff in the house, or they don't like to have their money tied up and, you know, whatever. Or they have like a million other reasons, but they'll just keep only what they're going to use. Now, if you've ever been in the store IKEA, that's kind of the whole philosophy of IKEA is kind of the opposite of hoarding. Right? Because they're very focused on how to make stuff work in teeny tiny little spaces. So if you've ever been in an IKEA store, it'll take you hours and you'll practically need a drink by the time you leave. But it's kind of an insane experience, but also very cool. Something everyone should do at least once in their life. So the whole entire store is like a showroom and everything is for sale. I mean, you can buy, there's nothing you see in an IKEA store that they don't carry. Okay, they might be out of it, but they sell everything. There's nothing just for show. Every picture frame, every lamp, every rug, every cushion, every pillow, every decorative accent, all of it. Okay. And in the IKEA store, they have these little pods where it's like, you know, how somebody completely outfitted a 250 square foot apartment. You know, or like, so if you are even thinking about the tiny house revolution, you should definitely go to IKEA and look at, I'm not saying buy all your stuff there, but definitely look to get ideas on how to work with small spaces. So if you have that sort of minimalist mentality, then you probably are an anti-hoarder. I mean, that's just, those two are mutually exclusive. You can't have a minimalist attitude and be a hoarder. Now you could actually, you could, you know, you could have like a, one tiny thing that you hoard, right? Like you might, your whole house might be minimalist, but then you have 7,000 pairs of shoes, right? So I talked about some of the causes of this, but another cause that we didn't mention, well, the second cause actually, which I mentioned, was a false sense of security. But it's also about like trying to fill a hole with the wrong thing. And, you know, if you have a, here's an example. Let's talk about the closet. If you have like massive amounts of clothes, most of which I might add you never wear. How do I know that? Because Lauren taught me that. She said that most women do not wear 80% of what's hanging in their closet. That's why you actually can come in and wipe out 2/3 of your closet and really not miss it, because you're not wearing that stuff anyway. You wear the same outfits over and over. You have these outfits that you rotate through. You know it looks good together, and that's all you wear. You don't tend to, I mean, if you're like the average woman, you don't tend to mix it up and switch it up. And I wonder with this, I've never considered wearing this with that. No, that is not what the average woman does, okay? So as a result, we become creatures of habit, but then at some point we get tired of wearing those same dozen outfits or 20 outfits, and so we have to go shopping because we have nothing to wear. But we don't wear the new stuff. We don't mix and match the new stuff with what's already in our closet, or we don't buy thoughtfully, so we're in the same predicament, right? Does this sound familiar? And it just repeats over and over. So if you have a hole in your life called, I never have anything to wear, like I'm so bored with my clothes, I have nothing to wear, then the way that you fill that void, or the way that you try to fill that void, is by going out and buying new things to wear. But because you're such a creature of habit, you may wear, like, let's say you buy a new outfit, you'll only wear that new outfit. You won't try the top with some skirt that you'd never consider. Or you have 17 black skirts hanging in your closet and you just switch out all the black skirts. And even though you're wearing something, quote, different every day, it still feels boring and monotonous and you feel like you're wearing the same thing every day. So you know the whole definition of insanity, right? That's what we're talking about over and over. And you just keep doing this. And that's why most women in their closet have, like, how many pairs of black pants? How many black skirts? How many black sets of shoes, right? How many white blouses do you have? Or you get stuck in the same color pattern, like everything you own is black and white, and you don't ever mix it up and buy something chartreuse or, you know, orange or like whatever, hot pink, I don't know. So that's why you end up hoarding clothes, is because you're not actually filling what the void is, what the actual hole is. And how do you fill the hole? You got to look at what's there. Okay, I never have anything to wear. Okay, so what? What does that mean? What does that cause me to feel? What does that create in my life? And the answer is different depending on you, right? So not having anything to wear might cause you to feel unattractive. Like you don't have anything that looks good on you, you feel. Or you're bored. You're not attractive because you're wearing the same thing all the time. Or that might cause you to feel stressed because maybe you don't have a lot of time to get dressed in the morning. And so not having anything to wear causes you to feel stress and anxiety because you don't want to get up a half hour earlier, right? You want to be able to just grab something out of your closet and go. But what do you grab? What you're comfortable with? Same thing every time. And so that hole never gets fulfilled. Maybe the hole is something different for you. Maybe it's, you know, I don't feel sexy with the clothes that I have, or I get bored, you know, I hate feeling bored or whatever. So you have to like kind of dig a little to see what the root is. If your root is fear, that's usually pretty easy to spot. And all you have to do is ask yourself, why do I have so many, fill in the blank? Or why do I have so much, fill in the blank? Why do I have so many tubes of toothpaste in my storage downstairs in the basement? What's the answer? Is the answer because it was on sale? Are you really saving money if you have like 100 tubes, like these, what do you call them? Extreme couponers, right? They have 100 tubes of toothpaste. Yeah, but they were all only 20 cents a piece. Yeah, but you're tying up all this space in your house. You've got all this stuck energy now in your house from all the stuff that you're hoarding. And that's $20 tied up where you could have spent it elsewhere. Like if you're extreme couponing to that point where $20 makes a difference to you, maybe you could have spent that elsewhere, right? So what are you hoarding and why are you hoarding it? That's what there is to look at. And that helps you get to the root of what's at the bottom. Is it fear? Are you afraid you won't be able to get that again? Are you, I will tell you, I had a favorite lipstick that I actually bought when Lauren was here doing my image makeover. It's a color I never in a million years would have picked out. And she was like, you have to try this. And I was like, wow, seriously? and is like the most flattering lipstick ever. It's like perfect for my coloring, my palette, my complexion, whatever. And I was in that same store shortly after that, and they was told that it was being discontinued. So hell yes, I bought up everything that was left. Am I hoarding that color lipstick? Well, not now, because I'm probably on the last tube, right? But I definitely bought that out of fear. Oh my God, I'll never be able to get this color again. I'm buying everything they have left. That's hoarding. So the spirituality behind hoarding is fear, or it's insecurity. Like there's a hole there that you're trying to fill that is not getting filled. The other issue, like I talked about, convenience. I mean, there's probably nothing to clear there unless it becomes a problem. Do you have a whole storage room in your house that's full of, you know, obscene amounts of staples, like 100 tubes of toothpaste and 20 things of mouthwash, you know, and you're like a family of three? That's probably an issue. Is it taking up space? Is your partner irritated with you because you could be storing, I don't know, the Christmas decorations or like something, you know, the off-season stuff or whatever, something of value there, and all this stuff's taking up space? Do you become obsessed with how to get your toothpaste for free? Like you have 100 tubes of toothpaste, but you're still trying to get free toothpaste? Is it, you know, that's definitely unhealthy. So you have to look at the overall effect that it's having. We got to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, KidCentered.com. We'll be right back.
KidCentered.com. Yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time. Calming the body and calming the mind. Try our Calm Mind Time for free. Smiling and feeling happy. For kids meditation, you can't go wrong at kidscenter.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Amy Scott Grant on Amy Talks. And today we're talking about hoarding. So we looked at what hoarding is, what the causes are, what causes people to want to hoard, how to find the root behind it, and then what the kind of spiritual spin is on it. Now I talk about like what happens, how do you stop hoarding, right? Because that's probably something you want to know. Like, okay, now I get it. I see what the reason is. How do I stop? How do I turn it off? Or maybe you're in a situation where your house is like out of control from the hoarding, or it's causing problems in your relationship or something, you know, in your finances or whatever, something to that effect. Once you know what the root cause is, simply treat that instead of the hoarding. Okay, so if you're hoarding, let's say, I don't know, what's something that people hoard? I was going to say stamps, but that makes me think of Orange is the New Black, right? When people are like hoarding stamps in prison. But now what's something that you hoard? Like, tell me something. I'm just going to get that intuitively. Picture frames. Really? Okay, so let's say we got somebody who's hoarding picture frames. She's like obsessed with picture frames. She cannot set foot into Hobby Lobby or Michael's or even a department store or even Tiffany's or any place without being immediately drawn to the picture frames. At some point, surely you must have asked yourself, why am I so obsessed with picture frames? What is it about picture frames that I am so drawn to, that I'm so enamored with? Right? I mean, if you haven't asked, somebody in your life has asked, like, Jesus, what is with all the freaking picture frames? And are you using all of them? Are they, you know, taking the place of paint or wallpaper in your home? Or are they piling up? Are they still in the boxes? Or, you know, do you feel like you can't part with them? You just start asking questions to try and get to the root. So let's say with this picture frame hoarder, we're talking with them and we get that it's about, showcasing a moment, right? Now you could have any reason under the sun for hoarding. So we're just picking one to look at. So let's say, well, I love picture frames because I love the idea of capturing like a perfect moment in life, whether it's a bride and groom's first kiss or holding a baby for the first time or a puppy licking a cat, you know, like taking care of it as a cat. Or first time you drove a new car or whatever. Like, I love the idea of capturing that perfect moment in life and then showcasing it on display. Let's say that that's why the person says they're hoarding. That's a beautiful sentiment, right? I actually rather like that. And I think that's why we are drawn to pictures for capturing moments and memories. But if the picture frames are now piled up out of control, most of them not even holding any kind of memory, where's the disconnect? Where's the breakdown? Okay, so the next question you might ask yourself is, okay, why am I buying more frames than I have showcased memories, like than I have photos to showcase? And that could help you sort of get to the bottom of it. And maybe it's, well, you know, I'm hoping for a better life, or I'm trying to plan ahead, or, you know, I want the memories, but nothing's happening in my life. So this is my little way of exerting control, is going out and buying more frames. Or I'm looking for the perfect frame, and somehow in my mind, that means I'll be able to create the perfect memory. Could be anything like this. So we start down this rabbit hole, like, okay, what's really at the root of this? Once you know what's at the root of it, and let's say we keep asking why, right? Like my Y5 little tool, you just keep asking why till you get to the root of it. So keep asking why. Okay, so then why this? Then why this? Then okay, good. Then why are you doing that? So why do you have so many picture frames? It's because I'm waiting for my life to start. All of a sudden you hit an answer where you're like, oh my God, that's it. Right? Or there's some emotion that comes forward or something. Then you know you've really hit the kingpin, right? You've really hit the key belief around this, or fear or desire or whatever. And that's when you could say, okay, I can stop buying picture frames and actually start my life right now. Because I've bought like thousands of picture frames and my life still sucks. So how about if I stop buying picture frames and start living? And start filling those frames with something. And that could be scary to flip that switch, but that's what solves it, is because that's what you really want. Whatever's at the root is what you really, really want. And then you may even find that not only do you fill the picture frames, but you can start giving them away or selling them if they have value, or donating them, or doing some kind of special project on a certain wall with them, or something. You can actually put them into use. Before we go, I want to talk to you about stale energy, okay? Because hoarding actually creates stale energy. It does not facilitate the flow of chi. Anything that you have piles of, boxes of, I'm not talking about a collection that's on display. You know, if you walk into my office, you'll see I have some beautiful crystals on display. And I love these crystals, but I don't have a box in my basement of crystals all wrapped up that I haven't put out. I don't obsessively buy new crystals every time I go to a crystal shop. And furthermore, the crystals that I have are often rotating through. I sometimes am inspired to gift them, or to sell them, or to use them in a piece of art that then gets gifted, or like a silent auction donation or something to that effect. So they're constantly circulating, right? Which is what happens when we take an active look at our possessions and our surroundings. But when we don't look, when we pretend it's not there, when we ignore this box or that pile or that closet that, oh my God, I cannot even deal with that closet. Okay, just I hate when I have to go in there and find something. That creates a stale, stuck energy that does not allow us to powerfully move forward into whatever is next. So this hoarding conversation is important, because you start to break up the stuck energy and move things out, put them back into circulation where they belong. In fact, you know what? I think right after this podcast, I'm going to go have myself some dried coconut, because it's time to circulate that stuff out. And I may even look for a really good recipe where I could use up a couple of bags of it at once. Maybe I'll make some homemade granola or something. So I'd invite you to take a look at what you're hoarding, why you're hoarding it, what are you really seeking? Find ways to bring more of that into your life, then break up that stale, stuck energy by putting the stuff that you've been hoarding back into circulation, whether you're using it or giving it away or selling it or donating it, get it back out into the world. Thanks so much for being here, and I'll see you next time.
I'm a sidekick, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do, and I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and